Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the latest episode of Watching Stuff. We took just the normal amount of time off, right? Or are we back early?
Well, it feels like we're back early because the last episode ran just this past weekend. But yeah, no, we're the back.
All right, that's the end of the show, everybody. I'm sorry, I completely forgot to post it the week that we actually recorded it, so it went out this past week. So my bad, my bad.
I mean, we're nothing if not professional.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
it's a big time outfit, so we run it accordingly.
Yeah, great.
I am one of your hosts, as always, Monty Moore, and I'm joined by both Aaron and Dusty. How are you guys tonight?
I'm so excited about this movie. I'm so excited about
Yeah,
this movie, Monty.
best one we've watched for sure.
Yeah, I've like not got a lot of energy today because I just got done watching this and I just feel very tired.
The whole movie has this kind of like gray overlay to it also.
Yeah, it's very dark.
It's
It's like
like
not as
muted.
far as like I guess as far as tone, but just the color. It is very
Yeah,
dark.
the tone is much different. And like there's some weird like horror like undertones in some
Yeah,
parts.
I've got
Like,
that to talk about. Yeah, I
yeah, I
enjoy
figured
that
that
part.
probably
Yeah.
got you excited. Yeah, and but a lot of it like it doesn't have an identity. I feel like it's trying to be a lot of different things.
I had the most unrealistic part of the movie happens in the first 2 minutes where the person says, "My personal hero is Eli Manning."
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. I thought that was Reed Richards because you don't see Hussein at first. I was like, "What a dweeb! What a dweeb!"
I was like, that's way more unrealistic than anything else that we're gonna see in the next 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I will say we got I texted Aaron. I was like, Aaron, the first 7 minutes of this movie are Reed and Ben when they're 7 years old or in fifth grade. Like, this is ridiculous. There's no reason for this. And then we found out in the scene we're in now. So Chet Hanks plays Ben Grimm's abusive older brother, and that's where he gets the tagline. It's
Yeah,
clobber time when he gets
clobber
slapped in the
time.
head. That is so
How?
depressing.
That's so quirky. His catchphrase is from his abusive childhood.
It's like I
Right. Like,
wrote down
I
my
feel
note on
like,
this is like that's the saddest Easter egg I've ever seen. It's so
right.
also
Like,
if it.
that turns into your catchphrase. Like, you need some therapy, my guy.
If you somehow didn't know, like that was the thing's catchphrase, you would forget he even said that at the beginning when he
Right.
finally says it at the end, right? Like,
I
if you had
don't
no
know. If
idea.
somebody said it's clobbering, if my older sister said it's clobbering time before she punched me, I would be like, you're a fucking
It's
loser.
one of those things. I almost wanted when Ben Grimm do it, like later in the movie when he's the thing, to just say like, "I'm continuing the cycle." Oh no, I'm perpetuating it.
There's an after credit scene of him in therapy.
They like
I just
the like abuse victim like hotline comes up at the end of
I
the
never really thought about the ways we hurt each other until that moment.
credits. Yeah, this
Oh,
whole opening scene is like totally unnecessary. Like, I think they could have cut this whole entire thing out.
we
I just
understand that they
realized.
are friends. Like, we can understand they're friends without seeing them in fifth grade
Right.
for like the first 7 minutes. There's no reason for
When
it.
whenever they're at the like high school science fair thingy, when they say we've been working on this since fifth grade, that's all I needed. That is all I needed.
Yeah.
Wait, did I? You know, I just realized. Do we say what we were watching yet?
No.
I think we just went right
People
into
can figure it out,
Yeah.
Monty.
So I
Oh,
assume you've
God.
listened to all of these episodes in order, so you should know. Shame on you
Yeah,
if you don't.
hopefully you're not jumping in at this episode to be like,
That
I'm gonna watch a movie with these guys, and then it
we are
just
watching, yeah,
crashes.
Fantastic Four from 2015. The end of our Fantastic Four series, thank God.
Thank God.
This
I
was one of
think.
the this was like a true flop, by the way.
I didn't see.
I don't know what it
What
got
did it
on
do
Rotten
box office?
Tomatoes.
So it grossed 167 million worldwide against a production budget of 120 million.
Ooh.
So
Do you guys want to guess what the tomato meter is on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh wait, I knew this. When it came out, it was 9%. I don't know what it's at now, but it was at
I
least
do know it's
still
on.
at
Is it
nine.
still nine?
It is still
Oh
holding
my God.
strong at 9%. The audience score is at 18%.
It's one of those movies that's so bad that over time people start being like, actually, you know what? It was kind of good.
I don't
So,
know
but
about
that
that.
raised it up to 21%.
my first time watching it, all I had heard about this, because this is one I was like, I'm never going to watch that movie, because all I heard about was how bad it was. So I had in my mind, worst movie ever made, terrible movie. I'm going to watch it. It's like, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be the worst movie ever made, but it is ridiculously messy. It is
a
mess of a
movie. Yeah, it says 20th Century Fox lost over 80 million on this movie.
Yeah, so. I mean, like I said, it just doesn't really have an identity. I feel like there's a lot of emphasis put into the interpersonal relationships, yet none of it like comes to anything, like, but somehow it doesn't feel like that they have any sort of growth moment between these people. Like, and I don't know how that's fucking possible. The amount of time they spend talking to each other, and yet at the end of it, I feel like nobody knows
each nothing.
Other. Nothing.
See, I like don't know. Some of that. Like, I like them spending time with the characters. I love, there's a couple things, I will get the things I like about this movie out of the way. I do like that we spend so much time with them. You're exactly right. There's no personal growth. You don't see those relationships grow, but I feel like I have a good feel of who they are as characters. Mm-hmm. I also love when they get their powers, they jump forward a year. We don't get any of the weirdo stuff where it's like, we got to learn how to use our powers. You just are like, they now we have our powers, and they drop you in here. I like that. I like that we're not wasting our time with that. That's cool. That's about
right. I agree with that. But do we know how long it's been? Because I get a sense like it's been like 5 years. Because, well, this could have just been because it's a poorly written movie. But like they say, like, I stopped being friends with you a long time ago. To me, a year is not that long. Since it's fifth grade. And then later he says, we're closer than we've ever been before. It makes it seem like it's been 30 years since they like have been there. That was one of my biggest complaints, is the timeline of this movie is so unclear. I have no idea. Do they say a year? Did I just miss it?
Yeah, I'm sure it says 1 year. It says 1 year later.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was clearly not paying attention. My bad.
I want to know.
How dare you look away from the screen?
I know.
So we're at like the science fair scene. Are all these kids supposed to be like similar ages?
That one kid is clearly,
he's like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid he steals the plane from.
Yeah. Miles Teller and Jamie Bell, who are supposed to be in high school,
they're like they're 25. Yeah.
They look like they're 30.
By
like,
the way, you got the disapproving teacher is Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
Yes, guy, I love that.
Which is tremendous.
Also, he's very miserable teaching. He should just retire. Like,
right.
Well, he clearly does not enjoy teacher when they're kids, and he's still teaching 7 years later, and he hates them every bit as much as he did 7 years prior.
Yeah, I just had that written down. I'm like, okay, if they're supposed to be in high school, they look 30, but then the kid in this scene looks like he's literally in fifth grade. Like, what are they doing? Like, it looks like he should have been in Reed's class from the opening scene. Like,
he got blipped.
Like, whoops.
Oh, no.
And how old is like Sue Storm? Is she older, or are they all in high school at this little high school
program? I assume they're all supposed to be the same age. Like, she is roughly the same age as them. I assume it's supposed to be the same age. It's weird the way she like comes up and introduce her, because it's like she's like some, not necessarily a bigwig, but it seems like she's supposed to be older, but like she's the same age as them.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's like Victor, who doesn't looks even older than they do, and
he's
like
a little weirdo incel with like
he's like
glasses.
He has a thing with Sue, and I'm like, is there a like weird creepy groomer thing going on, because he looks like he's like 35.
See, I don't think he looks that old, but they make him out to be like he washed out 15 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, right. Like, they're like, he's been 40s. Working. Because Franklin Storm says something to him about like, oh, 10 years of this. And I'm like, how old is he?
Yeah, he doesn't look that much older than the other people in this movie.
What do you guys
like? They make it seem like he's like in his 30s, but then they say like, and I'm like, but why is he creeping on Sue Storm? She's like 18 years old, and that they have a history. It's just,
what do you guys think of the Franklin Storm character?
I like the actor.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why he chose to do this movie, because he's a really good actor.
No, it's like
his voice sounds like how Barry White sings, and it's
like you can tell he's really
trying. I want him to read me to sleep.
He's really trying in this movie, but he's got nothing to work with.
Yeah,
I think he does a good job, and I like when he's on the screen, but then you're like, anyone could have done this.
Yeah,
they could have got a wet paper bag to do this, but he's man, listen, he's just acting the shit out of this role, man. I respect him for it. He's doing tremendous work here. Him and I love Tim Blake Nelson, who comes in like chomping gum. like Pete Carroll in every single scene, just the most happy, sinister man you've ever seen. He's tremendous in this movie.
I sent you guys a message like 15 minutes into watching this, and I said I'm already confused because the Franklin Storm part is where I get confused. He has like an orphanage, or like he has just adopted a bunch of
we kids, don't know,
or is he trafficking them? I don't.
You're not supposed to ask so many questions,
right? I don't fully understand because they're all like all these really smart kids, and I'm like, it feels like he's like picking them out to adopt them.
All right, you know what? Okay, let's take this one step further. Is Franklin Storm killing their parents?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To motivate them.
Yeah.
And also to grab them for himself. Oh no, look, you're an orphan. I have a free room.
Right.
Are you smart?
See? Like, because
I should have checked before I killed your parents.
Show me your ACT scores and then I'm gonna go to this alley with your parents for a couple minutes to talk about something.
Something very important. And it's just also weird because I feel like the orphanage bit is forced because they have Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan playing siblings. And they're like, we have to explain that somehow because people are going to ask questions. And so like, let's build this orphanage bit. And I'm like, but you could have just like not done that and either just said that she was adopted and just left it at that. Or you could have cast.
Yeah. Cause characters. Them
like
them being like siblings does nothing for me.
Right.
Like it doesn't add a single thing to the movie.
Even if they are, and they're two different races, I am a relatively smart person. I can figure out that she is adopted. Like it doesn't. I don't need to explain to me. I know what this is.
Right, right. I mean, but people might ask questions. But either way, like you could like when she's saying that she's adopted, you could keep that in. But the whole how he has an orphanage full of children that he's picking to like, it's just odd. Very, very odd to me. And I'm like, you could have just said that. Oh, I'm adopted, and nobody asked questions. But the orphanage feels weird. That it adds nothing to this but confusion as to the structure of this organization high school thing.
I like this scene, like when he's like walking through the Baxter building looking at like the stuff in the glass case, mm-hmm. and like the headline is just like, they invented the world's first quad processor microchip. Like, okay.
Like whatever that means.
That's dumb. Like that's really not worthy of highlighting as like the that's a boring thing for a movie.
It's framed behind a glass.
Yeah.
It's
just like, here's nerd words.
Right. Maybe exactly.
Is. This scene bothers me as well. This is one of my big notes that I've got. Like, of all the dumb stuff in this movie, this is a thing that frustrates me.
When they meet in the library?
She's listening. Kate Mara's listening to her headphones. And he's like, what are you listening to? She's like, Portishead. And then he goes, oh, do you like music? Is that your thing? Which, first of all, dumbest possible thing in the world to say to someone.
But yes, I wrote that down too.
They make such a big point out of this. First of all, Portishead rules, but
yeah,
they make such a big point in this movie about like, I need music to think. If music is so like, it's so important to her process. You never hear what she's listening
never
to.
Could hear they never hear anything. The music?
They couldn't get licensing for this. It's so ridiculous. Give me a Portishead over the headphones when she puts on her, when she's trying to find like, she's trying to find him later on, Reed Richards. She puts on her headphones.
Don't hear anything.
Give me something. Give me like explosions in the sky or something. Like,
have they learned nothing from Blade Trinity?
Right.
Yeah. Show her making her playlist. Give me something.
Yeah. Here,
man. Right. Right. Yeah. Like they literally, like this is, I feel like this is such like a trope for like the mysterious girl of like, oh, she likes her music. And it's, but first of all, to ask somebody, do you like music? Who the fuck doesn't?
Well, he says, is that your thing?
Is that your thing?
Right. I wrote, wow, she's the it girl, huh? Next to my notes. Because of that. I'm like, this is just like this weird trope like they did in Blade Trinity. Where
I love the Smiths. It's like, it's that.
Don't you dare shit on my Preston Smith meme.
I like, it's insane to me that this is how they we're looking at this boardroom scene now. Like this is where they drop Victor Von Doom's just name is on a piece of paper. Like, oh,
say it.
Oh shit. I bet he's going to come into play later in the film.
Von Doom.
Yeah.
The Von Doom.
Also, yeah. Worst portrayal of Dr. Doom. Of all time in this movie.
I think this whole, the fact that they're so young,
really the origin makes no sense. Like it's not even that like they got anything from the comics. Like they literally were just like, what if we made him an emo jackass?
Well, and so that's what I was going to ask. That was a question that I had. Like, what ages are the Fantastic Four in the comic books?
Because they're older.
They're older.
I was going to say, because that's it's hard for me to like buy into this because.
Yeah, I don't know why they made them kids.
Like practically children doing all of these things. Where they're like, yeah, we'll send you. Like, we'll just. Them work on this big science project. Like what? There's nobody else in the fucking world that is like probably has a little more experience. Like, okay, I don't understand.
I like it just because it is a different take. Like, I don't mind that they're younger, but they don't really. Then they have them do things that they usually have grown-ups do in movies. The fact that they're young doesn't actually play into anything in the movie. So what's the point?
Like
it's like they made them young just to establish that Reed and Ben have been friends for a long time.
You know what? Like, but if they're in their mid-20s, they've been friends for even longer.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and I think like to that point.
Uh-oh, did we lose Aaron?
Like we lost Aaron.
Okay. Whenever that happens, I don't know if I'm the one that got lost, but then no, I saw you moving also. There you go. She's back.
No, but they had a built-in like kind of layer to that to add to the age thing of saying where the scientists or the government could have said like, oh no, you guys are too young to go on this. But they don't really say that. They just say like, we're going to find other people to do it. And I'm like, but why? Like, why? Yeah. There's no explanation as to why. And it's just kind of like, oh, you could have just said because we don't want to send kids or blah, 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 blah. And then make it an act of rebellion, which would have made a little more sense. But
I love that they're like, we're going to get NASA. But this is another planet. This is another dimension. This is not another planet. Like, NASA is, no one is prepared for this.
Right, yeah. They haven't been training NASA, for this. No.
Right. They can wear spacesuits better. Is that the thing?
Yeah.
They know how to wear spacesuits. We'll just send
them. They're bespoke spacesuits. That's why.
Right. And I love that they immediately do not send any object. They just jump right into an animal. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like that. And then he's there, does not leave the chamber. The monkey is there for like 30 seconds. And they're like, oh, it's ready. They like literally they come back and they're like, yep, it's ready. It's fine. No other testing needed.
I had written down.
It didn't explode.
Right.
I had written down movie would have been more interesting if the monkey came back with superpowers.
That would have been awesome.
I thought that's what they were going to do. And then they were going to have to go get superpowers to fight the monkey. That's where I thought this movie was.
See, we could have. So we already made this movie way better.
This is how Planet of the Apes started.
Well, actually, Aaron.
Dimension of the Apes.
When even, okay, when they go over there, this is a dumb small point. But when they go over there, they have this whole thing where he calls up Ben Grimm, come on over here, drunkenly ride your bike over here, come over here. No one asks Sue. A single person asks Sue if she wants to go with him. She gets her powers by getting hit by a blast.
By trying to save them.
Yeah, and he was like, why aren't they asking her? She is there. She was a big part of this. Why would they not ask Sue? It's not like they set up something where like, oh, Sue goes running to daddy and tells everyone every single
time. Yeah.
She has never shown.
She should have been part of it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
I also had that this movie is kind of like so mind numbing. I realize we're like 20 minutes in and I forgot that we're waiting for another character to show up. I literally forgot about like the Human Torch.
This movie is so fucking slow.
And then they cut to him. I'm like, oh yeah, Johnny Storm is in this.
Like literally I felt like I was like an hour and a half in and I'm like, nothing's happened. Like they've got their powers and they've done nothing with them. Like that's
and it's weird
all that happened. It's literally the last
it's such a short movie. It's only a 90-minute movie.
Right. And I'm like, when is something going to progress? Because the beginning is so slow. The setup to getting them to get their powers takes way too long. And that is what I think I struggle with the most. Because then everything else, they're not the Fantastic Four until the last 10 minutes, and it doesn't make any sense, which Dusty said pre-show that they didn't really have the ending written they'd already started
shooting.
They got to the day of shooting and someone with a big crayon just wrote fight Dr. Doom and they're like, cool, let's go.
Right. It's spelled F-I-T-E. The E's backwards.
The one part that we missed is why Ben gives him a Swiss Army knife that never, like, as if it's significant. Never, and then I was like, oh, that's going to come back at never some comes point. Back up. Nothing.
They zoom in on it, and he's like, what's this? They have a conversation about it. Like, it never comes back.
I was like, oh, he's going to, like, use that, like, at the end of the
it's
movie.
It's the same like, thing as Sue Storm being nothing. Like, hey, you know, I can make a force field inside of you and explode you from the inside.
Right.
From Silver like, Surfer never shows up.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I do feel really bad for Ben in this whole fucking movie. Like, this kid is
First of all, and this is like jumping ahead, but like at the end when they're trying to figure out like what to call each other, like why does Michael B. Jordan go so hard? He's like two guys, a girl, and a thing that nobody wanted. Like why would you say that?
You guys seem like you have a good relationship. He's been through so many hard things.
Like back off, man.
Right. Jeez. At no point have they ever like crossed each other. And he's just like immediately like, yeah, we're just gonna
giant rock piece of shit. How about that? How about that for a name? No one will ever love you. How about that one?
Tell that to your therapist.
Okay, yeah, this is jumping way ahead. That naming themselves scene, I swear to God, was 2 minutes. And I was like, just end the movie. Just please end the movie. This is going on far too long.
I felt like I was being waterboarded like at the end there.
Well, and then he's like, all these, the it's people. Fantastic. Look at this. He's like, say that again. Like, don't just get on with it.
Well, and Ben being the one saying it's fantastic didn't feel right at all. There's like, he seems like very miserable, like, not a very peppy person, and the word fantastic feels much more peppy. And I was like, why is he saying fantastic? That's not.
And what's really interesting is like, it's weird to see a superhero movie that has come out like since Iron Man, basically, mm-hmm. where you can tell they have no ambitions to like make a sequel. Like this,
right?
Like this, they introduce like the most popular Fantastic Four villain, kill him off in the most in the dumbest fashion ever.
Right.
It is so anticlimactic, that battle.
Yeah.
I said it halfway through. I was like, I hope he just kills them and the world just ends. Like, I'm done with this. Like, it was painful. It was excruciating. I did write in all caps. I did write force field fireball. That was awesome. but that was about it.
I'm just noticing now, this is going back to the scene we're watching now, where Michael B. Jordan, we meet him half an hour into the movie, Johnny Storm, when he's racing, he's got the little Mario fire flower hanging from his window.
Yeah.
His rearview mirror. Cool. I like that. That's cool.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah. Ooh. And then his car exploded in fire and he somehow only got a sling out of it.
At least he didn't get a bloody nose like Sue Storm in the originals.
Oh, no, my brain.
I don't like that they don't really give the thing like a different voice in this. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't sound like an intimidating rock monster to me in this movie.
It's just kind of sad.
Just depressing.
They did it way better in the last movies.
Yeah, he reminds me of Eeyore. Like, I just feel like he's just fucking miserable in his existence, and I don't blame him.
Are you one of those rocks? No, I am the rocks.
I did like the post, like, I did kind of like some of the parts of when they get their powers. Like, it's played, like I said, like kind of almost like a horror movie-esque. Like, him catching on fire in the thing. I'm like, good God. Like, this is like...
It's just him.
Wait, like, he was in the thing when he caught on fire?
Right.
Yeah, deep inside of him.
He was in the thing?
Oh, I don't know what it's called. The capsule? I don't know.
Fireballs deep inside the thing.
That's a great romance novel name.
Yeah. There's your name for the week.
It's a fireproof lingerie, man. Not a valet. You know how you do.
An aloe vera. But like, I did like that. And then I really liked the post-accident scenes because that felt more realistic. Like them all being like, everybody kind of freaked out. They're all like in these rooms being like on lockdown. Like, I'm like, that's much more like realistic of a scenario that would happen of like, what the fuck happened? Lock everybody down and sedate them because we don't know what the fuck's going on.
I do have that was a, I like how they played that out, but that's such a lazy trope for a movie. Like,
fair enough.
Military wants our powers and to control
Area 57.
Yeah. Like big corporation bad, then military bad.
Right.
Like that's the plot of this, essentially.
I don't know. It was funny, like watching Reed escape. I'm like, where the fuck's he going? He's like in a shirt and just.
Well, I thought they were gonna make a bigger deal out of the fact that he's like in the Arctic and he's got no clothes on.
Right.
Yeah.
When they just gloss right over it, like 1 year later, and he's like Play-Doh-ing his face to buy groceries, and like, well,
horrifying. By the way,
I guess he's fine. I mean, like,
they did take that out of the comic though, because he can do that in the comic.
I like that he's like, this is how I learned to use my power. I'm not stretchy. I'm just making myself look like someone else.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
The stretchy part was kind of disgusting to me.
I really liked it. I thought it was
really cool. It gave me like it grossed me out. Just like when he went seeing his skin do it, like him under a suit doesn't bother me, but they did a pretty good job in the CGI when he was like, it grossed me out. But
that was definitely a horror element where he's like slowly crawling away.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
we don't realize he's stretching until the end.
Yeah,
that was great. All that body horror stuff I thought was tremendous.
Yeah,
really well done. I thought it looked great. I thought it was creepy. That was another way, like the darkness, the way it was lit, I thought looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big fan.
What do you guys think of like the sets? Because I liked the part, like I said, when they started to get their powers, like where they're all trying to get back. Like it was very like an intense moment. But then the like cool capsules like shaking. I'm like, it looks like literally someone standing underneath it and like rocking it.
Well, the negative zone is just like smoke with mountains around it.
Right. Okay. It looks very cheap. I'm like, yeah. Like I had a hard time with some of that set.
The whole negative zone looked like when you like are on WebEx and you can choose like your background. Like that's what it looks like.
The lime green like accent. Yeah. Yeah. How did you guys like Dr. Doom?
Horrible.
I like the character. Like when he starts working with them, I like that actor. I think I just like that actor.
Mm-hmm.
I like the scene when he's walking through the hallway. It reminded me like Vader in Rogue One.
Yes.
It's so cool. You can see how powerful he is. The teeth on the mask could not take.
Why?
Oh my God.
Why?
Oh, it's so dumb.
Why did they do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he looked okay, but then like when you see him from different angles, I'm like, okay, he looks like C-3PO.
He slowly I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
He slowly pulls the hood off and he's got that face, like, I'll leave it, put it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like a mix of C-3PO and Sonny from iRobot. That's exactly what he looks like to me.
Well, and like his sunken in eyes, so he's got like these like I don't know, like there's just like the way they shaped it just did not, I don't know.
Well, like, I appreciate the effort
from different angles because I
appreciate
like
the effort, but it's horrible execution because like the classic Dr. Doom like costume is just unbeatable. It's too good.
Like, well, they tried to make it. I mean, the same thing with a lot of like the dark, gritty superhero movies. They try to make everything look realistic. Where like you went to the negative zone and became like a radiation monster. It doesn't have to look realistic.
Right? How you real?
Just put a metal mask on there.
Right.
It doesn't have to look like he has teeth. There's no reason for the mask to look like he has teeth. Just put a big MF Doom looking mask on him, and we'll call it a day, man.
Yeah.
I talked about some of the lines in here. We just passed one where she's talking about being adopted. This was literally like a, what are you guys talking about? Reed's trying to make a conversation with her. He says, you were adopted. I know what that's like. She goes, oh, you were adopted? He says, no, just wish I was. What? What does that mean?
If I was her, like, okay. As a woman, there is nothing more fucking aggravating than a man telling me that he relates to me in a situation that he knows nothing
about. To do with him.
Me complaining like, oh my God, my cramps like hurt. And I'll be like, oh, I know what that feels like. I've been kicked in the nuts. And I'm like, yeah, those are the same thing. Shut the fuck up. Like, that's exactly how that
was. This is like a life experience. Like I know what being adopted is like. You were adopted? Absolutely not. No, it was not. Two loving parents raised me.
Like, okay, shut the fuck up. Like, so no, you don't. Thank you. Yeah. The interpersonal dialogue struggles sometimes. Obviously, like the whole beginning of the movie, like where we sit in the library, like First of all, like going back to that part, she is clearly not interested in making conversation at all. And he continues, and I'm like, stop, leave her alone, walk away.
She's putting her second headphone back in, and then he starts asking another question, like, buddy.
She's not interested. So, like, I feel like, I don't know if he just is not a social person. He doesn't understand social cues. I have no idea. He is just in his own little world. He's like, man, I'll just talk to people like well, I can make him
in
them.
This movie. It's like Reed's really smart, but he's not in the last ones. In the last ones, he's really smart, and he clearly, like, they made it very clear that he did not know how to talk to Sue. Like, he didn't know how to, that was like the way their relationship broke down. There's none of that here. Like, we are led to believe that maybe he doesn't know how to talk to women, but he also just seems like a normal human being when he's relating to other people. There's nothing in there. There's no awkwardness when he's talking to people. Makes no sense.
I also wrote down that Tim Blake Nelson, I feel bad for him. I was like, he just keeps getting the shit. He can't catch a break with Marvel experiences.
Well, he's the main bad guy in New Captain America.
Yes, so he's getting some redemption there.
Yeah.
But, you know, this poor guy just keeps being in these bombed movies.
I would say his death, I'm a sucker. Like, if someone's wearing a hazmat suit and there's an explosion of blood inside the hazmat mask.
It's a 10 out of 10.
Oh, every time.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew. I was like, this is how it's going to happen. If he's in this suit with the clear plastic front, it's got to happen.
That is an accurate portrayal of, like, when he's walking out of the hallway. Like, that is what Dr. Doom in the comics would do. Like, he is just, like, completely ruthless like that. Like, he basically thinks he's a god, which they do kind of touch into in this one because he's trying to remake that entirely new planet. But other than that, it's just, like, they don't really nail his personality. Like, we talked about the costume being bad. Like you said, Dusty, the fight is just a lot of nothing. Like, it's just very clearly green screen.
Well, they also get to, like, we need to work as a team, and then 30 seconds later it's done. Like, they're like, yay, friendship, and then, like, they're done. They beat him.
Michael B. Jordan doesn't even do any, like, Human Torch doesn't even do anything in the fight.
Right.
He gets covered in rocks.
The fireball force field, that's it. Mm-hmm. They do add the layer that sympathetic villain again, because, like, he's saying, like, you're destroying this planet. Like, there's the environmental issue. He's like, I don't want you to destroy mine. And also, you feel bad for him because of what fucking happened to him.
Okay. Listen,
like, to an extent,
he went off on his own and touched green goo. That man got whatever was
happening. Also, why, when he touched it at that point, did nothing happen? It didn't happen until, like, it splattered on him. That didn't make any sense to me, but like, at least he's like, he does have a point. He's like, you're destroying this planet and I don't want you to destroy mine. So of course he goes the wrong way with that, of saying, I'm just going to destroy yours anyways. But like, there is that sympathetic layer to it where it's like, there's a message behind it. The final fight, he's kicking their asses. I don't understand how they're like suddenly we'll just be able to, like,
well, that's why I thought it was funny when he says, he's stronger than us, and he's like, not all of us. And it's like, I mean, he clearly is whooping your ass.
Can any of you explode people's brains? Maybe Sue can, since the other one said that.
Also said
that she explode them from the inside. But can anybody else do that? I don't think they can.
I have that in my annoying villain behavior section. Why wouldn't he explode their heads?
It's a great point.
Why wouldn't he just pull the thing apart rock by rock, which he can clearly
manipulate
rocks?
Right. He exploded the heads of everyone in that hallway in like 2 seconds. Doesn't even try with any of these people that are strong enough to stop him. Okay, I guess.
Rocks at them. When they got their powers, I love when they got their powers, because it was just Ben Grimm getting pummeled with rocks inside of his pod. It's just rocks flying at his face out of nowhere.
Shit in his capsule.
Yeah, like, where did they come from? Like, that felt personal.
Just a steady stream of rocks thrown at that man.
That, like, well, planet was rock, like, monster. Fuck this guy.
Oh, he touched the green goo. Okay. All right. Let's go.
Yeah, and then, like, all of the floor is falling except for exactly on their little pods.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which just shakes very fakely for, like, a minute. And I'm like, how is that not fallen through yet? Like, this is, like, there was a lot of, I feel like this movie had a very high ceiling Like, I feel like the look of it is better than the first one. I like the darker kind of take on it. I feel like it had a higher ceiling than the first one, but it fell so flat.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, entirely like Dusty was,
they went comic booky campy with that first run. Mm-hmm. Then this one, they went more realistic, which, I mean, given what Chronicle did, like, it makes sense why they'd bring him on if they wanted to go this route. It just feel like there was, it was poorly done and there's half measures all over the place. I mean, the actors in this, like, it's cast well, I think. I mean, I think the actors do as well as they can with what they have. It just it completely falls apart.
And the director, like, we talked about all the problems with the script and everything. Like, this, like, ruined, he said he hopes he never does another superhero movie.
He didn't do this. I think he's done one movie after this.
Yeah.
He did Blanket Capone. I think he did Capone. And that's it. He that dude has like six movies on his IMDb page. That he's
done. This movie killed his career.
Yeah, killed his love for filmmaking.
Which after Chronicle, like, he was kind of a hot name. Chronicle's a lot of fun. Like, it was a very creative take on like superhero stuff.
That's a found footage movie that actually works well.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
I also wrote down that the fact that he would not, like, he's trying to stay off the grid and away from everybody, and he's using an email with Captain Nemo in it. I'm like, what a fucking dumbass.
It's literally the one thing she knows about him.
connection. And can we talk about
it should have been I'm adopted instead.
Oh, I used a three for the E though. How'd you find me?
Like, can we talk about how they make a point to show that she's like, like, she's typing really fast, whatever. She's typing on like one of those like shitty Logitech wireless keyboards that like
you can afford,
that you get like when you start a new job and it's in your cubicle. Like, that's the keyboard she's using. Like, why did they even show that? Like, this one that has light up keys on it or anything.
Right. Something that looks like it would be like $1 million. I also really like that they had to bring her in because apparently there's no one else in that building that can recognize a fucking pattern. And I'm like, oh, okay.
No, listen, give her some Portishead, move out of her way.
Give her some music.
She's mysterious. She likes to listen to it,
apparently.
Music's her thing.
Yeah, music's her thing.
She'll love it. Only person in the world that likes music. Also, when they go to like rescue him, like, it's like, does he even know what's going on?
No.
Because like he, like, so why is he running? Like, he just is like, oh, I don't, like, that's none of us know. No one's explained anything.
They don't, like, that's one of the things they never bring back up again. So they found Reed Richards on the run. He's in Panama or something when they find him.
Yeah.
He's clearly trying to find, he's trying to create, make a machine to free them. Like, he's got all these guys. He's trying to recreate what he did to like either go in there or go back and save him. This is never talked about. Everyone hates him when he comes back. They never talk about the fact that, like, I was trying to come back and get you. Here's what I was trying to do. Not that it would have made a difference, and that just delays the movie. But that was looked like that was supposed to be like a point. He's trying to do this. It never comes
back.
He never tells anyone.
Also no weird because he doesn't know what he's like, who these people are. And like, I mean, he's just like not thinking it through. Like, how do you not, like, if you don't know what you're running from, how do you know how to fix the situation? Like, the fact that he's just like, I understand he was terrified, but because he woke up and he has long limbs and he's being like drugged, but I understand that's terrifying, but also at the same time, like,
I mean, it happens to all of us.
Right. We've all had rough nights.
Yeah, we've been there. Come on.
Right.
Well, he knows where, but he, like, was. He knows Tim Blake Nelson was like some kind of government guy. Like, I think he's got enough information. He knows where they are. I assume he's making the machine to try to like tap back into there so he could save his friends. Either or.
But I guess I don't know. He doesn't know what he's saving them from.
It's being, like, imprisoned.
Like, if he would have known that they were trying to make them like weapons, that would have made more sense to me. Like, if he knew that they were trying to use, like, that, like, the fact that he just fled and he's like, I'm just gonna break you out of this thing, but I don't know why we're in this thing and what happened, and he hasn't talked to anybody about what happened, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, no, that seems like something they probably had stuff fleshed out around, or the idea to flesh stuff out around, like, the whole thought process, what he was trying to do, like, why he was there, all of that. But they just, it's one scene of his like, oh, he's like, he's ripping into this car trying to get something, and now people are there and they're trying to get him, and he's punching people with his long fist, and then that's the end of it.
Right. It's just, and that's what I kind of mean, like, there's so many, it looks like all of these scenes were like directed by different people or written by different people, because nothing like there so many parts don't feel cohesive enough.
And that was another thing that, and it's tough to tell because there was a lot of, as we've mentioned, a lot of turmoil on set. One of the things was they said they brought in a bunch of people for rewrites and to like punch up the movie later, mostly the second half of the movie, where the director, Josh Trank, would show up to set. A whole bunch of changes would be made to the script that then he would have to direct, but he didn't have veto power over it. So they get new pages every day from like Fox executives and other people, as far as like, this is what we're changing this to, that he had no say
on
over.
The fly.
On the fly, like of basically the back half of this movie, that's how it was done. And so he would show up, there's new pages to shoot. He hadn't seen until that morning and they're just going to shoot him. And
that's gotta go
you
with
read
it.
That. Yeah. You're terrible. Like, that's exactly how this feels.
It makes so much sense because nothing feels cohesive. There's just like up and down like themes that you can kind of follow along, but I'm like, none of it feels connected enough.
No.
Like, I feel like there's, yeah. Another question that didn't make sense is when they came back to this dimension, why wouldn't you send the super people to go back to the dimension? Why would you send normal people? Because I thought Dr. Doom was going to kill them all in that scene. Like, I thought he was for sure just going to like get out of here and kill them. And then they were going to have to show up. That was me trying to predict what was happening. And so I was like, why wouldn't you just send the super people, the people that have energy from this place that is probably the best, but we'll just send random people, those NASA people again.
That's just one of those, like, they already went there and got powers and the government doesn't want to send them back and quite possibly make them even like stronger. They want to send their people in first because they don't trust them in the first place. Like, that they didn't want them going to begin with. So they're like, now we're going to make sure we can send our own team in there.
And guys just like, well, I want to get hit in the face with rocks. I want me Johnson, you in the back, you can go.
I saw like the main poster that always that gets posted for this or that they were using for advertising. They're like set in like a crumbling destroyed city. Never happens in the movie.
That's like a really helipad true. Or something.
Yeah. not a single setting in the whole movie.
Oh yeah. It's like skyscrapers that are like,
Smart.
Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Is that what the mountains are supposed to be? Is old skyscrapers here?
This like all the fight takes place in this in a green screen area.
Oh, this is the future US. You see the Statue of Liberty in the distance.
there's another movie screen. Yeah, two movie posters show them in cities, and they're never at any point other than in the beginning in the city.
And they're certainly not fighting in a city.
That is actually hilarious.
I love the Baxter Building. It's such a big part of the Fantastic Four. They are in it for school, but then at the end, they are not in the Baxter Building.
Yeah.
I said out loud when he said, we're going to need some space. And I was like, oh, the Baxter Building. And then I'm like, oh, they are in the middle of nowhere.
Like,
okay.
Here you go. No one comes out here. All right.
Well, they don't even explain that. They're just like, we've unofficially been here for 12 years or something. It's like, what is this? Like, what do you mean? Like,
so much of the Fantastic Four
is what like, is this compound?
The location of the Baxter Building is.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to put you out here. We're in Oklahoma.
I thought what they were going to do was like where you guys have been like studying is just like our satellite operation. This is like the real Baxter Building.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that.
No. Another note that I had, one of my last notes was when he said there is no victor, only doom. It reminded me of Ghostbusters.
Oh my gosh.
There is no Dana, only Zool. I was like, okay. Who wrote that? Who the fuck wrote that line?
I sent you guys the one that was just so she's like, he says something, Dr. Doom, before he's Dr. Doom, says something like pithy, and Sue Storm goes, oh, Dr. Doom over here.
Right.
Like, so bad.
Yeah, I swear to God, she turned and winked to the camera.
Yeah. I actually rewound that and I was like, no, I misheard that. No.
Like, I was like, this movie end on that note, just right there.
I'm telling you, multiple times I was like, just blow the whole world up. I don't care.
I mean, if you want to know how bad this movie is, you guys notice there's no Stan Lee cameo in this movie.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He declined to make a cameo.
He declined?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Stan Lee declined to make a cameo in the film. Kate Mara specifically noted that she hadn't seen the movie a month after it was released and had been very unwilling to watch it due to the intense negative reception. So like Stanley didn't want to be in it. She couldn't even watch it. Like,
and it sounds like Josh Trank basically gave up on the press tour 2 weeks after, because he was like, everyone was hit. It was talking about how bad it was, and he was like, I can't face this anymore. Like,
right. So yeah, it's like everywhere I go, I'm getting roasted. I can't do this.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of, okay, so in the let me look at the like MCU like timeline.
Stan Lee was just like, I've only got so many years left. I don't want to spend my time on that.
Yeah, like tell him I died.
Right.
So, I'm old. Okay, I don't believe it.
2015. So, okay. So, like, I don't know what time of the year, but we're talking, like, the movies that were out, superhero movies that were out leading up to this were, I mean, Winter Soldier in 2014, cool. Guardians of the Galaxy
excellent
in 2014.
Movie. Excellent movie.
Yeah, like, so then this comes out in 2015, up with Age of Ultron and Ant-Man in 2015.
You're hitting, like the best of the best, like, the high spot.
Yeah.
Of
when, yeah, when the MCU, like,
really some people's favorite MCU movies.
Right. Yeah. So, and then this comes out. So, like,
Stan Lee is just, like, though, he's saying yes to everything, then he's like,
I have to be picky now.
I'm busy. Yeah. I don't know if I can make that one. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. And that's like,
oh, I thought she was stopping to think.
So did I.
No, she's not. I was like, she's really lined up to make a point here.
My internet's apparently shit. Which is funny because Comcast just raised my prices, those bastards. But like it's like I think this movie isn't as bad as I was expecting. It's certainly bad, but I also think the criticism is probably because of the movies that were coming out at the time.
Yeah,
but I think the criticism is also deserved.
Correct. In a way, yeah, but like
I'm not gonna say like, I'm not gonna say it's better than the reviews, because I don't really think that's true either.
I'd say it's better than I expected, but only because I really legitimately thought this might be the worst movie I've ever seen. But guys, I've watched Blood Gnome. All right, like, it's not worse than Blood Gnome.
Well, see, the original Fantastic Four movie has a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The 90s one?
No, the one from, oh, sorry.
Ooh, the one from 2005. One next?
Oh, God. But like, to me, I feel like those should be closer together.
Yeah,
I don't think they should agree. Be 20% off. So that's where it gets me, where I think these movies are closer.
You're saying like it got negative hate because of what was coming out, but also it shouldn't be bumped up that much.
Right, yeah, right. Like it's still going to be a rotten movie, but like I don't think it's 9% rotten if the other one is 28%.
So like this is the second time I've ever seen it. I can't imagine I'll ever watch it again.
Yeah. I hope I don't.
Yeah. I can't imagine I'll ever watch this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have any last notes before we want to rate it?
Sure.
What were you gonna say? You
can finish that. I genuinely liked the performances. I thought the actors were good. I'm sad about the thing because I thought Jamie Bell just being like weird dopey Ben Grimm was fun. I liked him. So that the performances were good, even if like a lot of the lines were terrible. And it was a confusing mess by the end of it.
He looks way better than the Ben Grimm from the other two movies.
Right.
Like, he looks more like what would happen if a man turned into a giant rock monster.
Yeah, like technology is a lot kinder on this movie.
He's just like slightly wider Michael Chiklis.
Yeah,
like that's all he was.
And a little and tiny looks, bit more orange.
And he looks like he'd be cushy and soft in the first one. Like, I'm like, I kind of want to hug him.
It looks like foam.
Right.
Yeah.
Very clearly. Like,
it's like when Tobias was the rock monster. It was just a slightly better version of Daddy wants to get his rocks off.
I don't acknowledge that as a thing that ever happened in this development. I do not agree to that.
That's one of the moments I laughed at in season four.
That one, I think the only one that I remember laughing at was the goose that they tried to cook for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
it out, and then they're like, "Oh, eat up!" And then it's just like
that was good though. That was
that whole scene of them trying in you go to like trying to shove it into the oven.
I go to the kissing machine. We're just going one. That always gets a laugh out of me. Three laughs.
Three whole laughs. I love that somehow that season came up while we're talking about this.
Well, we can. All right. So we'll go and start rating it, and we'll let you go first.
It definitely is worse than the first one, because at least like the things that are the first one, meaning the one from 2005, at least the cheesiness of it, like the intentional cheesiness of it, makes it easier to accept it as being a bad movie, because you're like, oh, it's cheesy and like
it's not taking itself seriously,
right? Thank you, that's a perfect way to put it. So like I understand why it's rated worse, but I don't think it's that much worse, because part of the things that are great about this movie are what we're lacking in the like things, like they're both like kind of, they're different, but I don't know, like the CGI is much better obviously because it's 10 years later,
right?
And the graphics of what they, I don't know, the way they handle Johnny Storm, like how we're seeing him right now on fire, like the flames look better. Obviously, like we said, the thing looks better. The stretching looks better. Like all of those, their effects as people and Dr. Doom's effects. And like, I like the darker part of it, but other than that, there's like just nothing. It's so not cohesive. I don't understand what happened in most of this. I'm like, we spent so much time with these characters, but I feel like nobody developed any sort of relationship. And then they're just like a group at the end. I don't even feel any chemistry between like Reed and Ben at all. And I'm like, and they're supposed to be best friends. Like they barely spend any time together, but
right.
Like, and it makes it hard for their drama to like feel real.
Authentic.
The most emotion that I feel is from Ben. I think he did the best. His character, you feel more of the negative emotions that he's feeling. Everybody else, I don't feel like their journey was affected. Johnny Storm, I don't really know like what his angle was, like where he was supposed to have kind of grown as a character. Like, I don't think he
had no much arc.
Yeah.
There's no hero journey in this. Right. Like, that's a good point. They're right, all the same people they were at the beginning.
Right. Yeah. And
nobody changes.
Right. And so maybe this was intent. Like, maybe it's because they were trying to set something up for another movie, but this one unfortunately bombed. And I feel like it really struggled with the tempo of it took so, they're not the Fantastic Four until literally the last like 5 minutes. And that fight scene is bullshit. So it doesn't even like, it's like just not acceptable. So it just, I don't like it. So I'm not going to give it a zero. I'm going to give it a -1.
Oh, you go a negative.
Because gracious. I don't feel comfortable going with a zero, because the other one at least makes sense.
Dang. This is easily our lowest.
It's probably not going to get lower than that. I don't even think the Eternals is this bad, but maybe. I don't remember. We're going to find out. Right? Yeah. But it's so -1 is as a superhero movie, like, I don't know. We'll give it like a 3. I don't know. It's got like the characters that you love. There is, you know, a villain.
There's a
superhero movie.
There is a villain. There sure is.
Stand on the ground, talk to each other.
Right. Yeah, I'll give it like a. I mean, it probably should be higher than that. It's a superhero movie. Like it's definitely like a one of those.
I don't know if it should be higher than that.
Yeah,
honestly, that's higher than what I'm going to say. So I feel like
it's -1 and 3. We'll go 3.
I'll go 1s. I'll go 1s. Again, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's 1's really bad, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's really bad because it's still not a good movie. Like, it's barely coherent. Some of the lines in here are terrible. I cannot get over the Dr. Doom over here.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
And then the, are you adopted? Oh, are you? No, I'm not.
No.
I cannot. Or those are things I cannot get past.
Or the it's clobbering time, like literally what he needs to get the shit beat out of him from. Oh, and that's just...
I saw that.
There's
and I was
so
like,
many disturbing layers to that. This?
And then when I found out it was Chet Hanks, I was like, "Oh, cool. Okay, yeah,
I get it now."
It's a little on the nose. They really cast that one well.
Like I did like some of the stuff at the beginning, like the first half. I liked like even if they don't grow as people, I liked the scenes where they're like trying to figure stuff out. I like there's like a weird like montage where they're on the whiteboard and you don't hear them talking, but like there's an energy to that I enjoyed. There's kind of an energy to the first half of the movie that I enjoyed. I loved, again, the body horror stuff. Johnny Storm on fire, and you see like his eyes and mouth are black.
Looks really
like,
good.
Oh my gosh, it looks tremendous. I love the reveal of Ben Grimm when he's just like a big pile of rocks on the floor. Like they do some things well, but there's so many loose threads they never pick back up. It's such an absolute mess. The final fight, I thought that there was going to be an end credit scene that Dr. Doom came back in, because I was like, there's no way he's dead. This ended in 30 seconds. And
he's just dead.
So I'd say it's incoherent as a movie.
He got blue sky beamed.
They'll say one. I might say two. I might say two because they're worth it. I'll say two for a movie because there were things I legitimately enjoyed about it. Superhero movie. I appreciate the effort. Appreciate the effort. This does not feel or look at all like a superhero movie. And I am, I am fully on board with do different things with superhero movies. If this hit the way he wanted this to hit, the way the direction he wanted to take, I probably would have loved it. With it's a different take on superhero movies. I love the idea behind it. It just fails fundamentally on so many levels. So I'll say a one for a superhero movie because it doesn't have the look feel of a superhero movie. A superhero movie is something like I will want to go back to, even if it's bad. I never want to see it again.
Also, like, we're at the part right now where, you know, Tim Blake Nelson's given the army presentation. Mm-hmm. Ben Grimm has 43 confirmed kills.
He threw a tank at another tank. Like he's racking them up.
Hey, that could be men, women, and children, by the way. It just says kills. It doesn't say.
I can guarantee you it is. I can guarantee you someone that got caught up.
He killed some younglings, probably.
And every single child he walked up on, he said, it's clobbering time.
That's how it feels.
Single little Rocky tear rolled down from his eye.
It was actually exclusively 43 kids.
We have very specific things we want for you to do, and we won't tell you why.
Yeah, I'm not going to be any kinder to this. I'm going to give it a zero as a movie. Like we've talked about how just like weird pacing, bad writing, like it's just, you name it, it's not good. I will say, I mean, this was our Fantastic Four got rebooted. The first one was 2005, right? So just 10 years later, mm-hmm. they rebooted it. Worse. And
10 years later, going to reboot it again.
Yeah, like they have, like, Marvel has to nail this next Fantastic Four movie because mm-hmm. if they don't, I don't know if you could ever make another one. Like it's tainted at that point. And it's really disappointing because I want one of these to work.
Fantastic's taint is huge.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. The fantastic taint. Many people have said.
Like
fantastic.
Fantastic
Four.
There's your name for the week.
Like, I really want this next movie to be good because it's a super, like, the Fantastic Four are super fun characters. Like, they're great comic stories. Like, they have some of the more fun, like, comic arcs. They would do, like, they need to make a good Fantastic Four movie, and they need to make a good Doctor Doom. And
it'd be so easy to nail Doom. Yeah. It's so easy to nail the look of Doom, and none of these movies have done it.
Yeah, like they have a golden opportunity now with, you know, Marvel movies being bigger than life at this point. So I'm a superhero movie, I'll give it a two just because I do think they did a good job of, like I said, technology was kinder to these stories by showing their powers. That was cool. But like we didn't get a superheroes save the normal people scene. It was just, oh, they're trying to take the whole planet, so let's just stop that. And also, they had like the heroic music once they actually beat Dr. Doom at the end. There was like a crater the size of a planet where they were standing.
Yeah. They literally made another Grand Canyon.
Like, a lot of people died.
So many cars, because in the middle of a road, so many cars got sucked like into that tornado. And they're
right.
And also, that was their fault. They caused this by
exclusively
by building the machine.
Right. And I love that they're like, go into the government and they're like, we're demanding all of these things. Like,
you did this.
Yeah. Like, they're like, we saved you. So therefore you need to give us your biggest fucking facility with all of the money and technology. And by the way, the technology we build, you can't touch. And they're just like, okay.
Well, here's a facility no one knows about.
Right. And they're like, why should we? And then like Ben, like the thing growls at them and it's like, okay. All right. Yeah. So odd.
Wait, so why one question. I know we're wrapping up here. Why didn't Ben Grimm get into the Baxter Institute? Because he helped build that stuff with Reed too.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he must be an idiot. I mean, like
I thought they were trying to say it was because he was poor. Because they like
probably went out of
I had that thought, yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess he just because how he kind of like apparently fucked up the whole experiment or something. So I thought that he was, the way it seemed like he didn't, he was just there for the ride. He didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Could be, but he'd been working with Reed for a while. I don't know. It felt weird. Maybe his parents were too hard to kill and Franklin couldn't. Well, Wiley won.
Chet stepped in.
He showed up and heard it's clobbering time. He's like, nope.
That Tim Heidecker, one wily bastard. Tim Heidecker wouldn't get out of the closet for him to kill. He's like, I'll write him off. Not inviting him on.
Like, I genuinely think we should not gloss over the fact that Franklin just had a bunch of high school kids building this shit. I just can't get over that. Like, it's working just like on, a little like cult.
Working their finger to the bone. They right?
Like, this is. There are definitely some labor rights violations in this movie.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in planning for 2 weeks, and we're jumping back into the timeline, right? Into the
yep, we're getting back to back to a good movie.
This is like it's gonna be enough. Just breakneck, man. We went from this to like we're going into Far From Home. Like, oh my gosh, a good movie.
Yeah,
it's gonna be. Yeah, we're all gonna give it like tens.
We'll be doing Far From Home, a movie which I think, by the way, is vastly overhated. I actually really, really like that movie.
I don't understand. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I don't understand the fact that it's hated at all.
Let's do it now. Let's just go.
Let's lightning round. Like,
pull the movie up.
So that'll be the plan. We'll shoot for 2 weeks and we'll go from there. Who knows? Maybe the Packers will still be playing, so we might not be sure.
They will be,
but I doubt it.
The Super Bowl run is going to take longer than 2 weeks, Mon.
Yeah, that's true. All right, suspend it until further notice. Hit the kazoos.